chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I really want to pay or focus most of my attention tonight on verse 17 through the end of the chapter. So for the sake of time, I just want to read verse 17 and 18, and we'll be seated and pray that the Holy Spirit will speak a word to us tonight. Paul writes in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this great crowd who have come to worship your holy name. I pray now that you would open up our eyes of understanding. Father, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are. And as always, Father, I pray that you would speak to us in such a clear way that all of us will be able to understand it and apply it to our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I told you this morning that there are times in our lives when we really struggle in the area of prayer. There are times when we know we need to pray. We know who we need to pray for. The only problem is we just don't know how to pray for them. God knew that we were struggling in this area, and so God did two amazing things. Number one, God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us in this infirmity, in this weakness of prayer. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 8. But then the second thing that God did to help us to know how to pray and to win in the battle of prayer, because I want to tell you, prayer, if you pray right, prayer really is a battle. Come on, come on. If there's ever a time in your life when you're going to be attacked, if there's ever a time in your life when the enemy is going to show up, is when you're trying to connect to God in prayer. Yep. Amen. There are times when I pray and things come across my mind that hadn't been on my mind all day until I pray. There are times when I get down to pray and there are people who will call me who hadn't called me all week. But they're called. The enemy will do all that he can to keep you from praying. Amen. The devil understands that in order for him to get victory over you and to keep you from achieving everything that God wants you to achieve and to become all that God wants you to become, he understands that he must keep you away from God. And so God did two things. God did three things. Number one, God gave us the Holy Spirit. Number two, God gave us the Holy Word. And number three, God gave us worldly problems. Amen. Because it's in the midst of those problems that we find ourselves in desperate need of a move of God in our lives. And the honest God truth tonight, as we just talk to one another and be open and transparent with one another, if it were not for problems, we would not pray. Amen. I'm going to tell you, for us, really, to be honest with you, problems are a blessing in disguise, because problems, when they get bad enough, when they get sincere enough, when they get hard enough, problems drive us to pray. Amen. So, tonight, God gives us opportunity to look into the personal, private prayer life of the Apostle Paul. I told you this morning, I got three or four points I want to give you tonight. I want to start by giving the first one I gave you this morning. When Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, according to verse 15 through verse 17, Paul was simply praying that, listen, that we would have a real, growing, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, look with me in verse 17. In verse 15, we discover that these people are already Christians. How do we know that? In verse 15, Paul said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus," that makes you a Christian. "The evidence of their faith and salvation is that they love the saints." And so we know that they're already Christians. But what Paul didn't want to happen in the church at Ephesus, the thing that is happening in the church today, is that we get saved and that's all for we go. Paul wanted them to be growing, listen, growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ, growing in their knowledge, growing in their love, growing in their faith, growing in their walk with him. I told you this morning that I wasn't going to preach on family tonight, but I do want to say this right here, that I believe that one of the primary reasons why so many Christian homes are having so many problems is because we've gotten complacent and satisfied in our walk with God. And God knows that if there's anything that will stir a man or woman of God to pray, it's family problems. So first thing, Paul prays that we would have a real, growing, deep, intimate relationship with the Lord. Here's the second point, found in verse 18. Let's look at verse 18. Paul prays. He said, "I pray the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." That you would understand that the lights of your understanding would be open. That your eyes would be open. Listen. Sometimes the devil gets victory over us because we are totally blinded to what he's trying to do. Sometimes we miss out on tremendous blessings that we stumble over and that we walk around. I don't know where they come from. That we walk around because, listen, our eyes are closed. So listen what Paul said. Just a simple message tonight. He said in verse 18, he said, "I pray the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Here's the reason or the purpose. "That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Here's the second thing that Paul wanted. Paul wanted them to understand all that God had done for them, all that God was to them. And listen, and that every believer, now here's the key, every believer would have a clear, confident, expecting understanding about the call of God on our lives. Don't miss that now. That's long, but that's good. Because listen what Paul said. Listen, he said, "I want your eyes of understanding open." In other words, Paul said, "I want the veil taken off of your spiritual eyes. I want the blinders that the world and the devil has put on you. I want that thing removed." So listen, so that you would know the hope of the call of God upon your life. The word hope in this verse, listen, the word hope in this verse means a confident expectation of future good. The word call literally means a divine invitation given to you by God. So here's what Paul is saying in Anthony's terms, that every believer would have a clear. Listen, when something is clear, the smoke is gone. Listen, when something is clear, it makes perfect sense. He said, I pray that you would have a clear, not only clear, but listen, also a confident. Listen, a blessed assurance kind of trust and faith. Not only clear and confident, listen, but a anticipation and expectancy about the call that God has on your life. Now I want you to think about this. Listen, the call that you and I are enjoying today because of Jesus Christ, listen, involves a lot of things. Number one, you have been called to be lights in this dark world. You have been called to go through trials and tribulations so that the power of God can work in your behalf to show the world that God can take nobodies and make them overcomers of anything that the world throws at them. You have been called, listen, you have been called to be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that don't start when you get to glory. That starts when you get saved. Oh, I may not have a lot of money in the bank, but I'm rich. Amen. I may not have a lot of land in Tennessee, but all in glory. Let me tell you, in glory, I got a mansion. And Paul said, listen, he said, I want you to have a clear, confident, expecting understanding about this call on your life. Listen, to put it in simple, everyday terms, Paul would say to us, I want you to know that the call that God got on your life cannot and will not fail. I want you to think about this. The devil and the world and folks in this world do all that they can to trip us up and to overthrow us and to defeat us. But Paul said, because of him who have called us, because of the power that he has and the love that he has for us, this calling will not fail. Let me tell you something. God started in 1984. God come down to Limestone, Alabama. He found a little colored boy down there who didn't have sense enough to get out the rain. God saved him and took him by the hand, and God started to lead him from earth to glory. And God said, come hell or high water, I'm going to get you to where I want you. It won't fail. Oh, thank you, Lord. It won't fail. I got confident. Listen, I'm expecting. I'm full of expectation about this call that God. You see, if anybody other than God had called me, I would have reason to doubt. Folks change their mind, don't they? Amen. Amen. But oh, thank God tonight that we can put our confidence in the Lord. Paul, I pray, listen to me. I pray that you understand. You know why some of us worry so much? It's because we don't understand. Amen. We don't understand. We don't understand who we are. We don't understand whose we are. We don't understand his purpose. We don't understand that the battles that we're going through, the victory has already been won. Amen. We don't understand that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We spend a lot of time talking about what the devil is doing when we ought to spend all of our time rejoicing that what he's doing ain't going to work no way. Amen. Amen. Here's the third point tonight. Look with me. Again in verse 18. Because Paul says something else. He says, the eyes of your understanding. He says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. That your eyes come open. Amen. He said, listen, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, the first thing Paul prayed, he prayed that we would know him better. Okay? The second thing Paul prayed that our understanding would be enlightened, that our eyes would be open. So that we would have confidence in the call that God has placed on our lives. But here's the third thing that Paul prayed. Paul prays that every believer would fully understand that what God has given us is worth the trouble that we go through. Paul prays that we would understand. Notice the word he uses, the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Listen, turn back with me. Let me show you a verse. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 8. Just hold your spot right there. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 8. Let's start in verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, now catch this verse. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, did underline that. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18. I like this verse. This is the key verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, listen, that what God has laid up for us is far greater than what we're going through right now. Because I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that the suffering of this present life is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The same idea, go back to Ephesians. The same idea is seen in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. He said, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his saints' inheritance. Let me go back. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what Paul wants us to understand, he wants us to understand, listen, that what God got laid up for us, what God has promised us, the riches of the kingdom of God and our fellowship with him, it's worth the trouble that we face right now. Folks, I want to tell you that in this life, we're going to have trials and we're going to have tribulations and we're going to face disappointment and there are going to be some storms and there are going to be some difficulties. But I promise you, listen to me, that if you can get hold of the grace of God now and get a focus on what is to come, it'll make traveling through this world a whole lot easier. Sometimes we give up on the Christian life. And we say it's too hard, and it's too many difficulties, and it's too many challenges. And what Paul is praying, now get a hold of this, because this is good. What Paul is praying that by the Spirit of God, we would be able to look beyond the suffering of this present time to see what God got laid up for us. Oh, listen, going through trouble is a lot easier when you know on the other side of the trouble there's a reward. Here's the last point. Well, here's the fourth point. Write this one down. Paul prays that every believer would totally rely upon the unfailing power of Almighty God. Look with me in verse 19. He said, I pray that you would know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, and we're close tonight with this, but listen, if you just read that on the surface and don't think about what Paul is trying to tell us, you have missed the whole beautiful point of the prayer. Paul said, I pray that you would have some idea about the awesome power that is working on our behalf and working in us. And then he uses the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the example. He tells us, listen, that the same power that's working in me and you, helping us to become the men and the women that we ought to be, helping us to overcome the obstacles and the difficulties and the sin and the struggles of life, that same power that is working in us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, that may not sound like much, Solid Rock, until you think about that. The very worst that a man can get in this life is dead. I mean, you can come back from cancer. You can come back from bankruptcy. You can come back from divorce. You can come back from losing a job. But when you lose your life, I'm telling you, you got to have some divine intervention. This making sense tonight, y'all. And so what Paul shows us, listen, as we close tonight, what Paul shows us is that, listen, no matter what you face on your way from earth to glory, the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you tonight. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. Listen, in fact, Paul says four things. I want you to see them. Paul said, listen, this same power raised Jesus, exalted Jesus, put all things under Jesus' feet, and made Jesus head over the very thing that God loved the most, and that's the church. Paul said, my prayer for Solid Rock Church, my prayer for your home and your family is that you would face every problem knowing that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's available to you. So let me ask you, knowing that, is there any problem that we can't overcome? Is there any obstacle that we can't overcome? Is there any enemy that we can't defeat? I'm telling you, because of the power that was in Christ, and that same power is in us, we can overcome, outlast, and deal with anything that the world brings against us. Paul said, that's how I prayed for the Ephesian church. I didn't pray that they become financially secure. I didn't pray that they get PhDs and BODs in education. I didn't pray that they become famous. I didn't pray that they become popular. I prayed that they would understand who God is, that they would know the hope of his calling, that they would know the riches of the glory that he's got laid up for them, and that they would know that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that's working in my life and in your life. I thought about when Jesus died, the devil knew that victory for his kingdom depended upon Jesus staying in that grave. And so he got to stirring up the religious leaders, and he got to stirring up the Roman government, and they sent men down and told them, say, roll a stone over the grave. In fact, I want you to make that thing as secure as possible. And he gave them his signet ring to put his signet on it. Not only did he do that, but listen, the devil was worried. Because he knew what prophecy had said, and he knew if God said it, something was going to happen. And so he went further than that. He sent a whole quadrant of men down and told them, said, you make sure that don't nobody come and steal this body, because the last thing that we need is for this guy to get up out the grave. And so they went down. And Friday night, everything was good. And Saturday, everything was good. And Saturday night, everything was okay. But early Sunday morning, oh, my God, the Bible said that God sent two angels down, rolled back the stone from the grave, and allowed Jesus Christ, his son and our savior, to get up out of that grave to show us that our sins have been forgiven and that we can be victorious over anything that we face in life. That's my prayer for you. My prayer for you and for myself is that I would understand that everything I need to be victorious, no matter what I'm up against, has been freely given to me by my Father in heaven. I'm like Cindy Glover. No more a victim mentality. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ my Lord. And listen, if I don't get the victory, it won't be God's fault, and it won't be to the credit of the devil. It'll be because I didn't understand who I was and what I had.